Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 10th of January. Just a reminder, as you well know, today is the primary day in New Hampshire, and Wisconsin Public Radio will be carrying live coverage of the New Hampshire primary tonight starting at 8 o'clock on the Ideas Network stations. The special will be hosted by NPR's Melissa Block, and of course we'll have a lot of coverage tomorrow, response to the presidential primary. Our show will focus on that at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. We will be speaking with reporter from New Hampshire Public Radio, and we will also be speaking with a guest from the University of New Hampshire, Josh Rogers, from political reporter for New Hampshire. NHPR has more letters. NHPR will be joining us tomorrow. Should be a good show. Well, we were reading the New York Times on Sunday, and this struck me as such a terrific idea. It's in the Sunday Review section, and the article itself is called A Good Job. It's written by Tina Rosenberg, and it begins with the story about Thurgood Marshall Academy for Learning and Social Change. It's a public school. It's in Harlem. Every one of the 82 members of the senior class is expected to apply to college, and they get help doing this from part-timers who joined ReServe. It's an organization that links people over the age of 55 with meaningful second careers. They get paid for this, and hundreds of retired professionals are on a waiting list to be matched with part-time jobs, not only in schools, but also libraries, hospitals, and other city agencies and nonprofits. It began in 2005. It's going on in Miami, Westchester, New York, New York City. It will start in Baltimore next year, and plans are proceeding in Milwaukee, Newark, and Boston. We have two guests with us this hour of the program to talk about ReServe. Mary Blyberg is president of ReServe Incorporated. She joined in 2008, and she has overseen its growth in all of these places that I just mentioned. She comes to ReServe after a decade at the After School Corporation. She helped raise nearly $500 million in public and private funds and create sustainable service and funding strategies that led to a dramatic growth in the quality and availability of after-school services. And she has worked for a number of government and not-for-profit organizations. Mary, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen. That's a lovely introduction, and I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, it's just great to have you here. Bob Bina is also with us. Bob is working here in Milwaukee, where he is director of ReServe Milwaukee, so we'll learn about what's going on in this city. Bob worked in the field of aviation engineering before he did this work. Bob, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, our great pleasure. Mary, I just think this is a great idea. I can't tell you how many older Americans I've spoken with, and I'm getting in that category myself, who don't really want to retire, would like some little source of income, but want to devote their hearts and their minds to something that is worthwhile.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because you're one of hundreds of thousands of people. ReServe, I think, is spreading rapidly because of those motivations. We were actually founded in 2005 by three social entrepreneurs in New York City who saw exactly that opportunity to tap into the wealth of experience, knowledge, and passion of older adults who had finished their first careers but did not want to retire in the traditional sense. And they also saw in New York a real decline in resources being devoted to nonprofits and public agencies. And this is a tremendously successful response to those conditions.
And a lot of people volunteer, but you wind up not being matched with what your skills are. So you're doing something for free, but you might be sending out mailers or licking envelopes or something like that when your background is in aviation engineering, as Bob's is, or you've been a teacher or you've run a company of some kind.
Well, we're certainly all for volunteering, and in fact, the majority of reservists do volunteer, but we don't use that word. It's really about service. Unpaid traditional volunteering tends to be very sporadic, a very, very small amount of time. I think it's about an hour a week nationally. By insisting that the partner organizations actually pay the reservists, we really not only give the reservists the stipend, which is $10 an hour, but also the agency has skin in the game, and that's very, very important.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, I just mentioned some of the agencies. Tell me about the breadth of Reserve. Who's using these people?
Oh, my goodness. In New York, we have had reservists at more than 350 different nonprofits and city agencies.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and, well, New York's a big place. So.
Right.
The numbers sometimes seem more impressive than they really are. But from tiny little storefront organizations like the Arab American Family Support Center, a small studio in a school, to very big organizations like the American Museum of Natural History, hospitals, child welfare organizations, children's rights organizations, you name it, we've been there.
Mm-hmm. And where are the plans? Well, Bob, let me ask you first. Would this be a second career for you to be director of Reserve Milwaukee?
Oh, well, just another step, I guess I'd say, in my career. Different challenges that I'm very much looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. And how far are we away from having a Reserve in Milwaukee?
Well, we are in the final stages of negotiating with Reserve in New York in order to be able to start up the program here in Milwaukee. We've been working since late summer, developing the business plan and gauging the level of interest among Milwaukee agencies and nonprofits. And we hope to move forward relatively soon, hopefully formalize things later this month.
Mm. What is the level of interest?
Actually, I've got right now about 21 nonprofits who say they are very interested in engaging a reservist.
Mm-hmm. The idea of paying somebody makes a difference, doesn't it, Mary? Pay matters here.
It sure does. First of all, the incoming generations of what would have been retirees or boomer generation really have... their identity is very closely linked with their job, and they have monetized a good deal of their life in that way. Being paid for service is a very important aspect of what they want to do. I mean, after all, we pay people for their military service. We pay people for national service. So from that perspective, it really makes this service work as opposed to traditional volunteering. And as I mentioned before, requiring the partner organization to pay means that they are not going to just say, oh, bring in anyone or bring in the best person you have and we'll find something to do for them. They really have to need these people. And I think that is at the basis of what Reserve is about, is that reservists are needed. And the amount of money that they receive is just a modest reflection of what their value is, but it is a symbol of their being needed.
Mm-hmm. The New York Times article focused on Thurgood Marshall Academy in Harlem. Are a lot of the reservists working in schools, Mary?
We have right now about 90 reservists in New York and 20 reservists in Miami and Baltimore, who are working in schools through a specific initiative that we developed a couple of years ago called READY. We realized that many, many of the high schools in New York City, which were doing a better job of preparing kids academically for college, still had no real resources to help them with college guidance. They might have one guidance counselor for 700 kids. And so we initiated READY by recruiting and training reservists from many different backgrounds to serve as assistant college counselors. And they've done last year, I believe, 45 READY reservists worked with more than 2,000 kids in New York City alone. So that program model is spreading rapidly. We also have reservists called Success Mentors who are working with middle school kids to reduce truancy. So schools are a very popular place for reservists to work, although most of them, in fact, I think all but three, have any professional background in education.
And Bob, what about an organization like Milwaukee Public Schools? Have they expressed some interest in here? Would it be problematic to get reservists in that large organization?
Actually, that's an avenue that we have not explored to a great extent yet, but we will be doing so.
I would think that there would be a great need in that area, don't you think?
I would think so, yes.
Mm-hmm. So the areas you have explored are what in Milwaukee?
Well, we've gotten responses from nonprofits basically across the whole spectrum of needs in Milwaukee. Veterans services, education, arts and culture, environment, housing, community development, disabilities, elder services, as you can see, just across the board.
I would think that this is a program that could catch on in a huge way, Mary, simply because there are a lot of people who want to give their life meaning, and work frequently does that. And secondly, just because we're living a lot longer.
We sure are. when Social Security was introduced in 1937-36, the average life expectancy was 65, and now it's 20 years longer. So, yeah, we are living a lot longer, and I think that most people now look ahead and say, you know, what am I going to do for the next 20 years? But also, the average 60, 65-year-old is just a very different person, physiologically, intellectually, socially, than that age group was 20 or 30 years ago. They really have so much to offer. They may be tired of working, you know, 40 or 60-hour work weeks, but they're certainly not ready to, as I mentioned in the article, and I got a lot of flack about it, to just swing some golf clubs.
You got flack for that?
Well, yes. I got flack from that because it's my brother's favorite pastime, and one of our staff here, who actually had retired and came back as our CFO, loves golf. But I'll make a formal retraction next week.
Your brother, now that you mentioned him, I feel it's okay that your brother is also working pretty hard and is brilliant.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I love him and listen to him every day.
And it's Robert Siegel, we might add. Yeah. He really is. He's just one of the best. He's very, very good. Let's welcome phone calls. I would think that you would have a lot of questions about this and thoughts about this idea. I think it's really a wonderful idea. If you have questions about signing up for it or the funding for the program, or you're a nonprofit who might be interested in using a reservist, it began in 2005, as Mary said, and it's running in New York now, in Miami, in Westchester, and it sounds like it's going to be up and running in Milwaukee very, very soon, according to our guest this hour. The organizations pay the reservist because it ensures that the work is valued, and we'll get more details on exactly who pays for what here. And it's people serving in a variety of places. If you're 65 or younger than that, you may not want to work 5 days a week, but you still want to do something to contribute to this country and to this world, and there are a variety of ways to do that. What do you think? Here's our number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. And our guests are Mary Bleiberg, who is president of Reserve, and Robert Bina, who's director of Reserve in Milwaukee. His previous work was in aviation engineering. We welcome your phone calls momentarily. A reminder, the New Hampshire primary coverage will begin tonight at 8 o'clock on the Ideas Network stations, hosted by NPR's Melissa Block. Tomorrow at 9, our guests will be Dante Scala from the University of New Hampshire and Josh Rogers, who is New Hampshire Public Radio political director. So that's that. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Ralph Nader is with us the second hour of our program. He has a new book, Getting Steamed to Overcome Corporatism, Build It Together to Win. Ralph Nader with us, hour number two of our show, Reserve this hour. Here's our number once again for those of you. And we may also want to just continue a conversation if you're getting close to retirement age or you are retired and you're looking for something to do or you have found something to do. How do you envision your life once you leave the active workforce? Do you think that this kind of program is a good idea? Would you be interested in signing up for such a program? Are you doing part-time work? Now that we're living longer and we're healthier and we've been engaged in the world for a long, long time, how do we go about being engaged in the world once we're retired? We start our phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Gay is our first caller from Madison. Hi, Gay.
Yeah, hi. I hate to start off in a negative way, but I am in that position to perhaps do work like this. It sounds very interesting to me, and I'm recently retired and still have a lot of skills and energy. However, I do worry about the impact in terms of perception on funding for public schools and positions, because I'm assuming that the volunteers probably don't make what teachers, you know, need to make a living, and that whether or not the public will say, well, look, we don't need to fill these positions in the schools because we know that we have probably cheaper labor to step in and do it. So that's my only concern. I think it sounds like a great program and a good way to use people to help their communities otherwise.
Thank you, Gay, for the call. Mary?
Well, Gay, I thank you for the comment. I don't know of any reservist who's functioning as a teacher right now, but we're certainly not interested in supplanting any regular workers or trying to say that regular workers can be paid less money. Reservists only work part-time, and they work in very targeted ways. The average number of hours a week that reservists work is 15 hours a week. And for those people who are helping with college, they are working purely with kids on college applications, on their essays, and on helping getting the families to fill out the financial aid forms. They're much more comparable to the private college consultants that middle class and upper class families pay. Yet we think that it's the kids who are the first generation college goers who probably need this kind of individualized help far more.
And the assignments, I think I read, or maybe I didn't, but I thought I read that the assignments tend to be not year long, but maybe shorter 3 months, 6 months kind of assignments. Is that right, Mary?
Well, none of the assignments are less than 3 months, but for the ready reservists during the school year, they may not work every week because it's not needed. But some reservists have been working for a very long time with their nonprofits. And again, what we're really looking at is the kind of talent or expertise that an organization could never afford. And this allows them to give their clients services that are way above and beyond what they would normally be able to do.
We haven't talked much about the kind of talent. What is the talent?
Well, the talent is huge. We have 1,000 people waiting to reserve right now.
Ooh.
In New York City, and 70% of them have college degrees. 40% of them have graduate degrees. They come from every racial background, ethnic background, in every community, but they do have more education. They are people who worked as social workers, as administrative assistants, as managers in insurance offices, salespeople, as consultants. It's incredibly diverse. And I think what we discover is that their hard skills that they honed in their primary career are valuable, but it's their maturity, their passion, and their patience that in some ways makes them even more valuable to the organization where they serve.
Do you imagine that you would have any problems signing up reservists in Milwaukee, Bob?
Well, we're investigating the interest level of retirees, for instance, right now. I think that once the word gets around, I think it'll be as popular here as it is in New York.
I think you're right. Let's go to Catherine in Delavan. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. It's probably very premature, but I'm wondering if there's any chance of eventually expanding that into outlier counties where prospects are kind of grim for finding anything?
Right now, here in the Milwaukee area, we plan to offer the services throughout Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties.
Okay, I'm in Walworth, yeah. But would you be going around and maybe talking to or giving presentations to others who were interested in it, or are you going to be too busy with just starting the program?
Well, I hope we're real busy with starting the program, but, you know, depending on the success, perhaps we would be able to expand.
Great, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Mary, why do you have 1,000 people in New York waiting to be a part of Reserve?
Well, there are 7 million people in New York City. we have a lot more people interested and qualified to be reservists than we do have opportunities at any given moment, and we're matching them as fast as we can. We do have 500 people working right now. So, we usually are able to place half of the people at any given time.
And tell me exactly how the money works for this. You do get a little bit of funding from AmeriCorps, is that right?
We get a little bit of funding from a lot of places.
Oh.
Our basic funding source are the agencies that engage the reservists. And we have a system by which reservists are actually put on a third-party employee of record. So they're not on our payroll. They're not on the partner agency's payroll. The partner agency pays us $15 an hour for the reservist, which is a huge bargain. The reservist gets $10 an hour plus fringe benefits. It brings it up to about $11.50 or $12. The third-party employer gets a little bit, and we get about $2.50. That helps us run our agency. But we also have public support from the Corporation for National and Community Service. We have support from numerous foundations. In fact, I think Bob may want to mention that the Reserve Greater Milwaukee movement was really initiated by two foundations that saw this as a real boon to their community.
Bob, you want to talk about that?
Well, yeah. We've been very fortunate and very happy to have the support of the Greater Milwaukee Foundation and the Faye Macbeth Foundation, as well as the Wells Fargo Foundation in launching this effort.
Mm-hmm. And how has, I was looking at where these reserve organizations have started. Why have they started in certain places and not in others, Mary?
That's a really good question, since I really view Reserve as a movement, not as a... And, I mean, it's an agency as well. It started in Miami because civic leaders in Miami saw the need for this organization and the potential for it and helped find an affiliate agency to operate it. We actually have started an affiliate in Baltimore as well. And there again, it was a funder who saw the potential. We basically are looking at cities which have a significant population of older adults a large but struggling nonprofit sector, and the kind of civic leadership and stakeholder support that can really get this off the ground. That being said, we're probably talking about half of the communities in New York City, in the U.S., I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question that's come in. Somebody wants to know, can anyone be involved? Can people over 55 join who do not have college degrees?
Blue collar. I didn't mean since we have many, many. It's your passions, your skills, your experience. We have many, many people who have not finished college or who did not go to college who are members of RESERF.
And I would imagine that there are a lot of skills that retired people have that can be passed along to all kinds of... We're talking about this gap now in skills in terms of what companies are needing. I would imagine there's a huge field of possibilities here, Mary.
There is. One of the comments that I heard was actually made by the head of Manpower, Inc., which is based in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Jeff Juries, who was just really an inspired speaker, and Manpower is now part of the advisory board of RESERF Milwaukee. But he talked about the 21st century workplace and said that we have to get used to not thinking about the number of hours people work, but the effect of their work. And I think that's what RESERF is about as well. It isn't about time served. It isn't about someone sitting at a desk for 7 hours and doing certain things. It's about coming in with a mission, with a purpose, getting it done. What we find over and over again is reservists walk into work. They do not waste time. They love to get their work done. They're very efficient. And those soft skills go right across the board. It doesn't matter what your job title was or what your hard skills were. It's that professional maturity that seems to make the hugest difference.
Let's go to Mary Pat calling from Cedarburg. Hi, Mary Pat.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I am so excited I can hardly sit in my chair. I just left a 27-year career with technical college, career counseling, and I talked to about 300 to 500 people throughout the year, many of them mature adults or dislocated workers, people that left their jobs not through their own choice. Everyone is so interested in getting back in the workforce, and they have so much to offer. This is a great opportunity in the community that you're going to begin. My expertise is in testing and counseling and helping people figure out what they want to get into. So I'm especially interested in this new effort. One question that comes up with the clients that I would speak with is, what about the young people who are interested in the same kind of jobs? The competition question.
That's a really good question, and one that we're asked all the time. Let me respond to the first part of your comment, and that is, increasingly we are finding people joining RESERF because they're what we call sector switchers. They want to explore or pursue a career in the nonprofit sector, but they don't have any credentials to do that. And they don't have much experience. And so performing service work in RESERF really gives them that experience, that exposure, and to a whole new array of work. So we are seeing more and more people who are going to do that. And we'd love to have you work with us on that. In terms of competition from young people, we really haven't found that to be an issue. Again, reservists are working at targeted services which people need. These are not full-time jobs generally, and they require a certain level of maturity or expertise that young people generally don't have. We have had some reservists who have participated in web design projects, efforts like that, which I would associate much more with young people. But remember, the generation behind the boomers is pretty small. There are 80 million boomers, and there are, I think, only about half as many of their children. And so the competition for those people is very, very strong, and generally the for-profit sector will win out there. So there's a real gap in the human resource opportunities in the nonprofit sector. And that's one of the reasons why Reserve resonates so much with the nonprofit community.
I would imagine that Mary Pat's skills would be very much needed.
Absolutely. I think they're probably very much needed for Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's just a wealth of talent in the Milwaukee metro area that hasn't been tapped into. When you go through testing and assessment, you know, it's very obvious that these people have so much to offer, and I'm just so excited that you're coming to our community.
Bob, do you want to give Mary Pat information about how she can link up with you? Do you have a website or?
You can get to information about Reserve through Interfaith's website. At Interfaith.
All right, I'm familiar with Interfaith.
Pardon me?
I am familiar with Interfaith.
Okay, there is a page on there giving contact information for Reserve Milwaukee. Also, you can call my number at 414-220-8643.
8643. And what's the Interfaith website?
The Interfaith website is interfaithmilw.org.
MILW.org. Okay.
Well, I'm so excited I would do this volunteer.
Good.
But I did need Bob's number again. I'm so sorry.
Sure. 414-220-8643.
Thank you for the program. It's been fantastic.
Thanks, Mary Pat. Go get them.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a feeling that that's exactly what you're going to do.
That's my MO.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. And you're looking at organizations, too, when this issue comes up of taking the spot of a young person. All of these organizations need as many people as they can to help them. It's not as though they're overstaffed, Mary.
No, they are not overstaffed. One thing that we never do is we never accept an opportunity that is basically a full-time job. And believe me, people sometimes do that. We really are very careful not to be competing with those full-time positions. And when an agency provides us with a job description, an opportunity that we say this is a full-time job, you may want the person to do it in 15 hours a week, but they can't, they will reject that. But yes, agencies across the country are hurting terribly.
Yes.
Even though I think the recession was supposed to have been over 2 years ago or last year, for any organization that receives public funds, this year is ground zero because the full effect of the recession is really being felt right now among state and local governments. Certainly in Wisconsin, that's true.
Bob, do you want to weigh in on that? I would imagine the same is true in Milwaukee, that as this gets rolling, you'll have lots and lots of agencies who are in need of help.
I think it's true across the country, Kathleen. I've seen data that shows that contributions to nonprofits have gone down tremendously over the last couple of years, which means they can't afford the help they need to serve an even greater number of people that need help.
Right.
And I think Reserve helps fill that void.
We welcome more phone calls. We're talking about a very interesting program. It came to my attention through the New York Times on Sunday. This Sunday, I always call it the Weekend Review. That's not been the case for a while. The Sunday Review section of the New York Times, it was a column, and it was on Reserve, a good job, Tina Rosenberg's article. Reserve is functioning now in quite a few places, and it's just really up and running and going to expand to many other places. It's in New York City and Miami and Westchester. It's going to start in Milwaukee. It's going to start very soon in Milwaukee, actually, and in Newark and Boston. The idea is that the concept of retiring is changing for people because we're living longer and because we've spent many years in our chosen professions. So why not, through a variety of funding sources, get people who are retired and give them money? Pay matters to people usually. It's not a huge amount of money, so it's good for the organization and good for the retiree because they're making something, and when you're paid for what you do, it makes you feel better usually. So here it is, and it's catching fire. I think it's going to be a huge program as years go on here and as those many, many baby boomers retire because, no offense to Mary's brother, Robert Siegel, how much golf can you play, right? Here's our number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, or you can use the email, that's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. If you're thinking about retirement or if you are retired, what do you think about this kind of idea? Do you want to just hang it up in the workforce and not work anymore or do complete volunteer work? Or would you welcome an opportunity to use your skills, whatever they may be, and make some money and contribute to society? Or is enough work enough work and you do want to play golf all the time or go for a swim or work in the garden or whatever? We'll take more phone calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, hour number two of our program this Tuesday, Ralph Nader will be joining us. He has a new book on corporatism, and the title of the book is Getting Steam to Overcome Corporatism, Build It Together to Win. Interesting show coming up on Thursday. This is a fascinating book, and it is huge. It is the ultimate biography of Van Gogh, and it's really good. It's just so engaging. It's by the authors of winning authors, Pulitzer Prize winning authors of Jackson Pollock. So, The Life of Van Gogh on Thursday of this week. Two more phone calls reserved this hour. Our guests are Mary Blyberg, president of Reserve, and Bob Bina, who's director of Reserve here in Milwaukee, where it will be up and running soon. Teresa in Madison, hi.
Hello. I think it's great that we have found something for people who are retired to do, but I think it's rather naive to think that they are not taking jobs that would be given to other people. If you look at some of the examples that were given, for example, helping with college applications, that was something that used to be done by counseling services in high schools. But I know in the high school where my daughter is, those services have been cut, and you're left with a much smaller number. And at the moment, you will have everyone from counselors to, you know, ex-students who are helping. The same if you look at the elementary schools, you could have them helping in the playground or helping in the lunchroom. But they are taking positions that at one time would have been advertised as jobs, and they are probably taking them at a lower rate of pay than somebody who was looking for a proper job would take. So it's very difficult in this sort of economy to, you know, whack the old because they're doing something that the young could be doing. But I think that we have to be open-eyed about it. And I can't see how anyone can say that employing someone to do that is not taking the job from somebody who perhaps would have liked slightly more per hour and slightly longer hours. 15 hours a week is the average of what an awful lot of educational assistants have been cut down to in schools. So it's not a small number of hours. It's half the working week.
But considering the fact that those positions are gone, and for those of us who have been in, had children in schools, we know that those college counselors are absolutely overwhelmed, that a lot of students don't get served. Does it make sense to be able to help the students by having some of these reserve people come in who have a wealth of experience rather than not having anything?
Well, actually, a lot of the schools have filled in those gaps by having people volunteer without pay, and that then doesn't actually, you know, prevent those jobs from actually being advertised in the future. I know it's a six of one and half a dozen of the other, but if you're really concerned about education in the long term, you're looking to maintain posts and not to fill them at whatever level of pay you can just so that you get the job done. I mean, because the next thing we're going to have, you know, old people pushing brushes up and down the street or shoveling snow or any of the other jobs that most of the counties would like to cut costs on. They could work as CNAs in retirement centres. There's all sorts of things that they could do at the lower end of the kind of spectrum, and not because they couldn't do things at the higher end, but, you know, I think it's a dangerous path to start down, and it's exactly what the Republicans would like us to do. Let's not pay people the right rate. Let's take the people that we're forcing into retirement in many cases, for example, teachers, and let's pay them much less than they would have got if they were in a full-time position.
Mary.
Well, there's a lot to respond there. I think you said a lot, which, you know, some of which is accurate. In New York City, guidance counselors are allocated based on the number of kids in a school. And so they, if you have a school of 600, you're going to have one guidance counselor. And that guidance counselor is going to be responsible for dealing with all the kids who are being suspended, as well as the college college help. I don't think we've ever had such a high level of service around college applications. I think what's happened is that our expectations for kids have increased, and what we're really trying to do is level the playing field, because middle-class families spend a lot of money and time and their own social capital helping their kids get into college. The average student in a New York City high school, actually 40% of the kids in New York City high schools have foreign-born parents, most of whom did not go to college, certainly not in the U.S. And so they need three times as much help as a typical student. I certainly am very much in favor of more teachers and teachers getting more pay. But I don't think this has any effect on that. I think, if anything, it creates better outcomes for school systems that are under attack and generates the kind of support that would eventually increase funding for them. I should say that my son is the assistant principal of a high school in New York City, and in addition to the 70 hours a week he works, there is a reservist there who is helping his kids get into college. And his kids are pretty tough.
It's also, I understand what Teresa is saying, you know, and I think people who are 65 struggle with that very issue in deciding whether or not they're going to retire to make way for younger people, et cetera. But we're also entering this new phase in society, which we mentioned earlier, that people are living longer and they have a lot to contribute. And what the heck are you going to do with your life when you're 65? Do we need to start looking at more programs like Reserve, because people are living and they want to do something? So let's find a place for all of their talents.
I agree with you. I think that the arc, our career arc, needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, you worked harder and harder and earned more and more money and then came to this hard stop at 65. And you got a defined benefits pension. You got a gold watch.
Maybe. Maybe you got a gold watch.
Now, people really, there is no reason for them to retire at 65. And yes, right now, many, many people are being forced into retirement. But that will not always be the case. And what we really want to do is create an arc, a different kind of arc, which allows people with skills to step down into less physically demanding roles, but that use their particular skills in a more concentrated way, and in the process leave open the opportunity for incoming younger workers.
Right. Teresa, thanks very much for your call. Bob, here's an email that's come in. Let's give this one to you. Is the age limit fixed? Do you have to be 55 or older? I'm 49, currently unemployed after being an at-home mom. I have a master's degree, 20 years of quality experience in my field, but almost no hope of getting a meaningful job in this economy after taking a break from the workforce. I have attempted to volunteer, but only got the usual envelope stuffing sort of opportunities. Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I think maybe Mary would be the better ask about the firmness of the age limit. It's my understanding that reserve is only offered to people 55 and older.
That's right. We're really looking at people who have finished their primary careers for one reason or another, and I certainly sympathize with the woman who's just written in, but I think there are different opportunities for her, and she's probably also looking for a full-time job.
Mm.
And I think that's an important point, that reserve is not for people who are looking for full-time employment.
We go next to Julie in Green Bay. Hi, Julie.
Hello, good morning. Speaking of being excited, and I love the idea to be after the lady that was giving the situation of negativism. I am a teacher of 38 years in the elementary schools, and I just think this is the best program that could be possibly involved. I don't know if the Green Bay system is in this one or if Green Bay is considering a reserve, but I think it's wonderful. I think the elementary teachers and anyone in a program should be someplace involved. Thinking of the reality of the school system, there is no money unless parents are able to volunteer. They want to, but they're working one, two, or three jobs. I'm wondering, in your program, what about transportation for the volunteers that don't have cars or aren't able to drive? That's one of my questions that I would ask. Is there transportation for these volunteers?
Mary?
In New York City, no. We have a great subway system, and people use it all the time. I would say that very few people drive. I think you're really talking about Wisconsin, and I know Bob and the staff at Interfaith have been thinking about this, but the expectation is that people would drive.
Or take public transportation, but you're correct, Mary.
And okay. what about Green Bay, Bob? Do you know if there's been interest in Green Bay?
I do not.
How would I go about talking to someone? Where do you think I should start? It has to start somewhere.
Mary?
Why don't you send me an email? Okay.
All right.
And mbleiberg@reserveinc.org.
All right, I will do that because this is just thrilling. We have too many people not being able to do something because they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of fingers that would be loving to listening to children read, mm-hmm. Overcrowded classrooms. This is not taking a job from anybody. This is helping, just like you had mentioned with your son. There's so many jobs that people would be loving to do.
Yes, there are. There are. I'm with you. Thank you very much for the call. And we should direct people, I think, Mary, to the website for all who are listening, because it's not just Green Bay, maybe Rhinelander and Eau Claire and a lot of places where people are listening this morning and beyond Wisconsin who say, ooh, we got to get this going here. Is it reserveinc.org? Is that
yes.
The place to go?
Yes.
All right, great. We have time for one more phone call. Terry in Milwaukee. Hi, Terry.
Hi, good morning. I'll try to be brief.
Okay.
I'd like to suggest that with this huge workforce in the public sector that are retiring, school teachers in particular that are able to retire before they're age 65, if a government program were set up where these teachers and other professionals that are retiring before age 65 or 67, if they would be willing to volunteer 20 hours of their time a week, vouchers can be sent in with the W-2 forms, and anyone that's willing to volunteer retiring early, instead of getting the age 65 Social Security reduced benefit, they'd get the full benefit if full benefits were at age 67, as long as they could show that they were volunteering on a regular weekly basis, so many hours a month, so many hours per year. There would be a lot of people, I think, professional people, if they could tap into their full Social Security benefits sooner than later, would agree to go back to work, volunteer without pay, to get that extra Social Security benefit instead of having to ride it out another 2 years or 3 years or whatever their situation might be.
Mary, what do you think? 30 seconds.
I think it's a fantastic idea, and I think you should pursue it. You know, you guys are really lucky because your senior senator is the head of the Senate Oversight Committee on Aging, Senator Cole, and I think he would be interested in hearing about that.
Mm. There you go, Terry. Get him while he's still there. Thank you. Don't you love it? Isn't it great to have great ideas and then see them happen? It's just, it's good. Well, thank you both so much for being with us. I'm very interested in the program. It's a really good idea. And thank you, Mary. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Kathleen, for having us.
Yep. Thank you, Kathleen. This was wonderful.
Great. It was our pleasure. Mary Blyberg is president of ReServe. And Bob Bina is director of ReServe Milwaukee. More information about the program, go to the web, ReServe Inc. That's all together, ReServeinc.org. And you'll find out about Milwaukee and all the details of the program. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, and thanks to Rhonda Fanning for on-air production in our downtown Milwaukee studios. We have more conversation coming up. Stay with us.